Elaine leaned in and said something to Freddie.
Don't let them change you. Keep working on what makes you different and what makes you special. It was great advice, but it caused me some problems.
But what could change Freddie do?
Soccer is going to explode, and it's going to be around this kid.
We were the Beatles. Everywhere we went, it was the Freddie show.
And with that came the expectation, and with that came the pressure.
New episodes of American Prodigy drop Tuesdays from Blue Wire Podcasts.
While we all await word for the start of this NHL season, the USHL is getting underway this Friday night as we get ready for the South Carolina Stingrays to open up their new season. And I've got one of their players on with me today. What's up, Caps fans? Welcome to the latest edition of the Capitol Building Podcast, part of Blue Wire Podcast. I am your host, Rob Carlin. As always, I ask you to download, subscribe, leave a rating, write a review. All helps get the word out. The most in-depth Caps podcast anywhere right now. And I am lucky enough to be joined by a record-setting goaltender, a guy who, much like in this part of the country, how much we respect and admire what Cal Ripken did by showing up day after day after day, I am joined by Hunter Shepard, who has joined the South Carolina Stingrays after a record-breaking career in college at Minnesota Duluth. And when you look back on just going to work every day, because that's what Cal used to say. I don't know what's so great. I just come and go to work every day. I know you were a college student, but what was it about just being there for your teammates game after game, weekend after weekend, that was so important to you?
I guess you can compare it to that, but at the same time, they're playing more games in one season than I played in all of college. So
I may have sold it a little bit. I may have put some hyperbole in there, but I'm trying to get the listeners involved.
Yeah. I'm just a competitive person. I want to be out there. The fun part's playing the games. I just love playing the game. I guess love practicing, love just being able to be on the ice and thankful we're getting to play hockey right now, I never had any goalies in my grade in youth hockey, and kind of just everywhere that I've went, I've either been the only goalie and got to play all the games, or at one point or another I've kind of taken the net and been able to play all the games. And I think for me, I always just felt the more I played, the stronger my game got. So just being able to be in a rhythm there and be in a routine, I think really helped me for sure.
Yeah, that's something that Braden Holtby early in his career relied on, and then later in his career, I think struggled with a little bit as the NHL has changed to, you got to have two goalies. And I think he loved that rhythm. Now, obviously, it's different in college because you're basically playing on the weekends. But how much was it for you, the more you played, the better you felt in how you were between the pipes?
I don't think necessarily college is different, right? You don't play as many games. I don't think at this level, when you play twice the amount of games in a season than you do in college, you can't have – it would be impossible. You could try, but I don't know how many years you could go and play that many games. That's a lot of games. But I don't know. It's different, I think.
But you played, 115 consecutive games?
Yeah.
That means at no point were you nicked up or you thought you needed a night off, or you went through a rough stretch where, let's sit him down, let him get his head straight. There's a lot of things that go into playing game after game. I know you're trying – hockey guys love being about the team, but at some point it's hard to just – for a goalie to stay that focused for that long, or maybe not.
It is. I'm sure – I think in college, though, it's more the mental thing, being able to mentally play all – do that, play like that many games is hard, but it's also nice. Like when you kind of know, like if you don't have your best game, that you'll be able to go out there and like be right back in the net. I think that's the biggest thing. That's something obviously I feel like a lot of college goalies have to adjust to when they get to this level, because that's not how it is. You know, like it's maybe like a safety blanket of some sort, kind of knowing that is really nice, because you can get that bad taste out of your mouth from maybe having a bad game and go out there and like the next night and be right back in there. But it was definitely something that, you know, you have to adjust to when you get to this level, because that's not how it's going to be all the time.
Then again, as you look back on the career, a couple of national championships in a row there and the numbers you put up, doesn't sound like there was a whole lot of struggling that went on, whether it was for you or for the team. So first, let me ask you about the team, because that's what certainly hockey players love talking about most. When you guys are ripping off wins like that, when you're that consistently good and you're winning a national title and then defending it and winning another national title, I mean, what's that feeling like when you take the ice every night and you feel like whatever style this school is going to throw at me, we're ready for it?
Yeah. I mean, I think it like from the outside, unless you were there from like the start of that group, when we came in, it wasn't my sophomore year when I got to start playing. We had, I think, 5 out of our 7 or 8 defensemen were freshmen, and we lost 2 guys early, and then a lot of scoring from that team when we lost that loss to Denver in the national championship. And it was really fun. Like, it was such like us against everyone. Like, we really had a big chip on our shoulder, because I think a lot of people just at that time, like in college hockey and like maybe even around Duluth, really were like doubting it. They were thinking it was going to be more of like a rebuilding process. And like, I think we were 7th place out of 8 teams in our conference going into the Christmas break. And just like being able to have all that group of guys finally like starting to get to play at the same exact time, to like see how far we came just in that first half of the year, and then being able to make the NCAA tournament and carry it into the next year was really fun. It was super close-knit group of guys, and I don't think a lot of people get to experience that, to come in with such like a big group, and none of us really had a role or like a lot of experience going into that, and then like kind of all get to do it together for 3 years. It was pretty special.
Yeah, so that leads to the age-old question of, does the talent make the chemistry, does the winning make the chemistry, or is the chemistry the reason for the winning? When did you start to realize that this group that you're talking about, this big group that all came in together and figured it out, when did you go, oh, wow, this group that we have in here, this group can be special for a couple of years now?
Yeah, honestly, I think the funny thing is, I think that we were missing a bunch of those guys like when that happened. We went to my sophomore year, we went to a Christmas tournament at Dartmouth, and we were missing like 4 or 5 guys for the World Juniors. And then we had another, maybe like 2 or 3 guys hurt. And we went up to this tournament. It felt like we were going to like a youth hockey tournament, like up in Roseau, Minnesota for the weekend or something. And we had like 16 or 17 guys only. And like, we had like one kid that was, we had 5 defensemen, and one of them was a 5th year senior that was a forward, and he had to play D because we didn't have enough guys. And then the one other kid that was a defenseman, he got like a 5-minute major in like the first period of the first game on the weekend. So we were down to 4 defensemen.
And oh my God.
Like 3 lines. And like, we somehow,
as a goalie, you must be like, oh, yeah, guys, I need some help back here.
Yeah. And then, but you know, we found a way to like win the first game. And then I think we beat Dartmouth in a shootout in the championship. I think that was like more of like well, we know like what we have, like when those guys get back from the World Juniors, and like the character just with those guys in the locker room, I think that was when a lot of us kind of figured we had something pretty special there.
So you know, obviously I was on the road with the Caps when they won the Stanley Cup, and just being that close to it, of the pure joy of a championship, I've never felt anything like that. And in as much as I know Nicholas Backstrom and Alex Ovechkin and TJ Oshie and all those guys, the pure joy that they took in being champions, the best, accomplishing it as a team, I've never been that close to anything that special before. What was it like to not only win that first one and be like, my God, we're national champs, but when you win that second one too, and like just that feeling that lasted for so long for you?
Yeah, I mean, well, first off, I think it's enjoying that, like, it doesn't usually sink in right away, but like, it's just, there's like a lot of things in your life that come and go, and that is something that no one can like ever take away from you, obviously. So it's like, you have that, and it's not something that you talk about all the time, but just, it's a lot of like good memories. Like, you don't get to see a lot of those guys or talk to a lot of those guys, but maybe I'll see them here and there, or maybe 20 years from now, it'll be something really fun to talk about. But, I don't know. It's not something that is, you don't like think about it every day, but like when you do think about it, it is special. It's not a lot of people get to do it. And the fact that we got to do it two times is pretty cool. The first one was, I think, really like awesome because, we kind of just like snuck in it. Like, we were the last team to get into the tournament, and I don't think a lot of people thought like we were going to do a whole lot. And we got down like 2-0 in the first period of the regional game. We ended up coming back and winning in overtime, and we got to play the national championship in Minneapolis. It was basically like playing a home game in front of 18,000 people. And like, I don't know, it felt like you're almost like in a video game, like with that many people there, pretty much all Bulldog fans, and kind of getting to be the underdog. It was pretty cool.
It's pretty cool too, watching your face when you started to replay in your head being down 2-0.
Yeah.
Like how much you enjoyed that one. That one sticks out to you for some reason. Why is that?
I think, like growing up, I went to the Gophers goalie's mom's daycare. They lived up the street from us, and he won a national championship at the XL Energy Center too when he was playing, and I got to watch that, and he's kind of the reason I started playing goalie. And like my worst nightmare ever was to like make the NCAA tournament and just go there and just completely lay an egg, right? And like, it wasn't looking good right away. And I think there was one save I can remember. It was like just like a rebound save, and that kind of just gave me my confidence back. And I don't know, we played pretty, I don't think we gave up a shot in the second period after that either. And we kind of just touched that and ran with it. It was pretty crazy. Like, you go through ups and downs in a season, and to like in that situation where it's in like one game elimination, for us to be able to play basically our best four games of the year at the end of the year, 2 years in a row, is like, and it's not like they were blowouts either. Like, you get a bad bounce here or there, like, you easily could have went the other way. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we always talk about the save by Holtby, right? And you're talking about that one big save that got you going. If Vegas scores that goal, who knows how the series plays out? But there are those moments where you go, man, if that one little thing, every player always says, well, it's a long season, the ups and downs, and you got to stay even through all of it. But you can always point to like a couple of moments in a season where, man, if that just went the other way, this whole thing is different. And it's pretty cool that you're able to know that now, that like you can appreciate that now, how big that moment was for you guys.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even I would say like you're absolutely correct when you think like there's always like that one thing. I mean, even in the second one, I think it was the semifinal that we played against Providence, and we were winning 1-0 like the whole game, and they scored like late in second period. They ended up having like a 5-on-3 power play for almost like a full 2 minutes at the start of the third. And we somehow killed it off. And, it's just like, there are obviously, like you said, there is those moments. And those are the things that you always think about. You just kind of laugh. Like, it wasn't funny at the time, but it's fun to think about now.
2020 has certainly reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical, and Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world, with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. 73% of online job seekers in the U.S. visiting Indeed each month, according to ComScore total visits. So it's clear Indeed can help you get the quality hire you need. That's why more than 3 million businesses worldwide use Indeed for hiring. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit as Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Football is Indeed back in full swing, and we are getting towards the playoff chase. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
So based on the fact that, you know, growing up down the street from a Gopher goalie like that, was your dream, because a lot of kids grow up dreaming of playing in the NHL, but was your biggest dream to win an NCAA title? Because maybe you're in college hockey country there and you got the guy down the street. Was that like when you won that first one, was like, man, I did it. I lived out a dream? Or were your dreams always bigger than that?
I mean, obviously, like you said, every kid, you know, dreams of playing in the NHL. I was like a super big Patrick Waugh fan, like growing up. But no, definitely like that. Adam Hauser was his name, but he was the reason I started playing goalie. And that's all like I ever, like when, like me and you say, like when you're playing in the backyard or like knee hockey in the basement, like it's always the Stanley Cup. And you want to win at every level you play at, but for like the guy that was my idol, that was the reason I started playing goalie, to like be able to win a national championship at the same place that he won one, was really special for me.
So, I mean, this is such an obvious question, but why Patrick Waugh? Like, what was it about him that made him the guy for you?
I mean, I think I just, my uncle and my dad were like super competitive guys. And they always told me, like, you know, just you gotta be like a win, like you want to be like consistent and you want to play well all the time. But like, he was just like, he won like the big games, you know, like he played his best when it was, the stage was big. And you want to play good all the time, like I said, but like, that's what I wanted to be like, you know, you want to be the guy who plays good, like in those games. And that's, you know, first of all, to be able to be in the position at UMD to get to play in those games was pretty special. But then also just to be able to play well to help the team win, that's kind of the reason I gravitated towards him, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's no real secret. I mean, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of kids who grew up, you know, idolizing Patrick Waugh. It makes perfect sense. But now that you've won your national title, you won your second national title, now the NHL is sort of, it's tangible. You can kind of feel it now. Is that dream still as passionate as it was when you were eight years old in the basement?
Oh yeah. I honestly, like, the fact that I'm getting to like play past college, and like, you know, there always is like that chance to be able to make it to that level. Like, I feel like it might even be like more, like there's more drive to like do it, because I think like growing up, I'd always, you know, I was be like on myself, like I wasn't big enough for, you know, there's always like all other goalies, like there always is, but that's, I mean, as any, like if that's the dream for any kid, like any guy who makes it to play like at the college level, or like to be here in South Carolina, or whether it's in Hershey or whatever, like, you know, like you're just like, every time you move up level, you're like that much closer. So I think if anything, like as much as I love playing, like it's probably more so.
But you are the guy who's too small, right? I imagine you've heard that your whole life, that you're just not big enough to be at this level.
Yeah, that's fine. I think I'm definitely the kind of person, like, I like if I to like get a compliment, like, I'd be, you know, like, thanks. Like, I'm not a huge fan of the attention, but I always like to look for people that are have like something bad to say about me and use it as motivation. I'm definitely that kind of person. So,
but you don't buy into it, because you look around the league now, and a lot of guys, I mean, these goalies are. The funnier thing is watching old footage of goalies and seeing how small they were in net and mm-hmm. how they couldn't move around. But the trend is now, you know, these guys are 6'4", 6'5". They're behemoths. How do you think your size can help you as you get closer to living out your dream?
I don't think for me, I'm not, like, obviously it's easy for me to say this because I'm not 6'4", but like, if I can like stop the puck better than someone, then, but I don't think that matters. If I would have been,
I can see the competitive juices coming out of you right now. Like, bring on any 6'5" goalie. I don't care.
It doesn't matter if you're 6'6" or 5'10". Like, if you let in less goals than the other guy during the game, like, you win. So it doesn't, like, that's kind of how I always thought of it. But not everyone looks at it like that. So maybe for some team or some coach, that the guy that's 6 foot on a good day is, that's not their guy. But that's why, like, I've been really lucky with the coaches I've been able to have in juniors and college. That didn't matter to them. You know, they just wanted guys that went out there and competed. I think the guys in front of you too, like when you're like a super competitive guy and then, like, you just do whatever you have to do to help the team win, I think that also helps too, like getting guys to play in front of you. So, like I said, if you let in less goals than another guy, like, that's the object of the game, right? Like, I'm not trying to be anyone else. Like, if I tried to play like a goalie that's 6'6", like, that's not my game. So I think when I realized that, you know, it's just easier to just be myself.
What is the strength of your game? I mean, obviously you've got that competitive fire in you. You've won wherever you've gone. And you've lived with that label of being quote unquote too small to play. So what is it, if you had to describe your game, if I'm a coach and I haven't seen much film on you, how would you sell me on you?
I think my game has came a long ways from like when I got the juniors to like college to even now. Like, technically, obviously it had to get a lot better because I probably wouldn't be here. But I think it's more of like a mental, it's like a mindset thing for me. Just, it sounds cliche, but you just play to win, you know, like it doesn't matter if I'm playing hockey or checkers or ping pong or whatever it is, like, I'm not a good loser. And I think that even like in practice, even like, you know, that's not letting pucks go in the net, like not letting pucks sit in the net, like just that's how I've always been. It doesn't matter like what I'm playing. So, I mean, whether I played hockey or any other sport, I think I would not say I would be the best, because I definitely wouldn't, but I'm always going to, you know, try to stop every puck. That's just me.
So why the Caps? You came out as an undrafted free agent. You could have gone. I know you were in a Minnesota camp. And that's obviously a hometown thing. What was it about the Caps organization? Did you feel you had a chance to compete here?
I mean, yeah, I think it's more like I like the goalie coaches a lot. Like, had talked to them over the phone and had Zoom meetings and watch video and whatnot. And having like a head coach that was a goalie in juniors, and having the goalie coach I got to have at UMD, I think that relationship was super important for me. Just like to have someone there to, you know, like help you work on your game, and also just to talk about other kind of stuff. Because I think that's a super important position. I think there should be more goalie coaches, especially in college, that should be getting paid as their job. Because that, for me, like, in juniors and college, that was probably the biggest resource I had that helped me more than anything. So I think, like, talking to the Washington and Hershey's goalie coaches, I think we just kind of clicked, and I like the connection. So I thought it would be a good fit for me.
So I'm just thinking now, at the beginning of the podcast, did I say the USHL season opens?
Yeah.
I did, right?
I was going to say something, but I didn't know if you could redo it or not. So.
I literally just, in my head, I was like, wait, did I say USHL? It's the ECHL. So now you sign with her, or you go to Hershey, and obviously their season, they don't know what's happening. So now you're recently assigned to South Carolina in the ECHL. And what was the message? You know, like, you're going down there, obviously they've got a goalie, there's going to be a competition, but what sort of your, whether it was the message from the team of what they want you to work on, or what's your sort of plan for while you're here, for as long as you'll be with South Carolina?
I just want to play, you know, like, don't get me wrong, I love watching hockey and I love like talking about hockey and all that kind of stuff, but I just the kind of person where I would rather play, you know. So like wherever I could go to just start playing, just like be back on the ice, and I like to have a routine and kind of do it every day. So to be here, I think that was probably the best thing for me and my game at the time.
So just, you mean like just to be playing, like they're playing, so obviously you want to be the starting goalie, but you're just saying like, put the equipment on, be playing the game is the best thing for you right now, rather than being in Hershey and waiting.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to be playing, like,
right.
Like, I don't think we're probably the first league here, like in North America, that's going to be starting for pro. So like, there's a lot of people that aren't going to be playing, and with everything that went on and, you know, whatever, like, I was thinking it was just kind of a weird year. Like, obviously it wasn't normal. So to be able to like get a job and be playing, like, I don't think maybe in a different year, maybe, I don't know. Some people would think differently, but the fact that I have a job and I'm playing, like, you can't really, you know, complain. I'm just happy to be here and get to like be on the ice every day and, you know, start playing games here coming up on Friday. So,
yeah. So what's the word from the coaches there? I mean, first of all, were you there when camp started? Cause I saw recently where the release came out, and then what's sort of been the word from the coaches as to how they plan on playing you guys in that?
I really couldn't, you probably have to talk to them about that. that's their deal, but yeah, I don't know. I've been here for a week and a half or two now. I don't know. It's weird. It's super weird. It feels like juniors again, but like, you're getting paid obviously, so it's probably even better. Like, you know, no class or anything. just go, you know, you get to the rink early and do your stuff and get on the ice and do your stuff after. And It took a little time to like a week or, still probably haven't quite adjusted to it. Just if it was normal, like if the, COVID wasn't going on, it would be probably different. Like, but can't be out doing right. All kinds of stuff right now. So like you just have a lot of time on your hands. So it's
binge watching Netflix and playing video games.
Yeah. A lot of that. So I gotta,
do you have a show? Have you gone down a rabbit hole with any show right now?
Not too much. I mean, usually just watching football highlights on my phone or something like that. The time to the next day. But
I will, if I can make a recommendation to you as a guy who's super competitive, have you heard of The Queen's Gambit?
I am not.
It's a show on Netflix about chess. Yeah. And it's a young girl who's the most competitive person, and she becomes like the best in the world. I got to tell you, it was like seven great episodes. If you've got time on your hands, you might get a kick out of it because it's
definitely have some time on my hands. So
yeah, she was super competitive to the point of being insane, but it was a very good show. If I can make that recommendation, was there a word from when you said like you got to talk to, is that Scott Murray you're talking to with the Caps? And if so,
and Alex Westland, he's the goalie coach of Hershey's.
So what were they impressed with, and what did they think, this is what I want you to start focusing on?
I mean, it was a lot of maybe just trying to like get places on my feet a little bit more, and making sure you're staying tall when you're down and that kind of stuff, just to work on like over the summer and going into camp. I think the reason in juniors and college and now, I'm just going to go out there and compete. My style might not be the right way to do stuff all the time, but like when you get in a game, like you just have to keep the puck out of the net. And I know there's like technically right ways to do it and there's wrong ways to do it, but I think I'm just trying to find like a good balance of being technical and staying on my feet as much as I can, but also not losing that compete part of my game. That was probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, like to me, it sounds like when a golfer, and I can't remember the dude's name, that's got the crazy swing, but you don't mess with it. If it works for the golfer, you don't mess with it. It sounds like that's sort of how you play goalie. Like, I might not be the most technically sound guy, but I keep the puck out of the net. And isn't that what you pay guys in my position to do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not, like, don't get me wrong. Like, as much as there is the ways that they teach you to do stuff in this and that, like, you look at every goalie, just maybe, like, every golfer, right, or every, like, player in baseball. Like, every player has a different batting stance, right? But, like, guys that are good at hitting, you, like, watch the film, but it doesn't matter how they start their batting stance. When they may, like, get to contact with the ball, they're at the same spot. So like every goalie has, their own like unique things and their own kind of their own style. And you kind of have to, it's a confidence thing. Like not every goalie is going to like to do everything the same way. So like maybe there's a guy that's 6'4" that does something like I do, but then maybe there's a guy that's the same size as me that doesn't do anything like I do. So like, that's, every goalie has their own style, and it comes down to the end of the day.
A couple of last questions here. Who are you, a guy? So you obviously said you love talking about hockey and watching hockey. Who are your favorite goalies in the league right now? Is there one guy in particular? Or is there two or three guys that you're like, those are my guys?
I've definitely been big, like since probably I was maybe in junior high or high school, big Henrik Lundqvist, Jonathan Quick, and so I mean those probably have been my two favorite guys to watch.
I don't know if you know this, but Henrik Lundqvist now plays for this organization.
Yeah, I know. It'd be pretty cool to meet him. He's definitely one of my idols growing up, and that's pretty crazy. I don't know if I'll get the chance to meet him, but that would be pretty cool.
I mean, it seems to me like his compete level would be something that you would appreciate the hell out of, because dude was just like, I am not going to lose this game. And there were games where you're like, I don't know how he's doing it.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, For me, I think I always just grabbed it. Like, well, guys that I like to watch, no matter what sport it is, I think that's, like, always something that kind of pulls me. Like, you know, just seeing someone that, like, really battles out there. And it's all, it, you know, there's no, like, you can just tell they're in there and they just want to win. Like, I know it's cliche to say, like, yeah, I want to win. But, like, you can, some people you can see, you know, like, they really want to win. Like, that, I like that for sure.
Yeah, it's only now could we even talk about this, because beforehand, Henrik Lundqvist on a Caps podcast would not be something fans would want to talk about at all. Who's your favorite non-goalie to watch? Like, who's your favorite player?
I don't know. I think there's a few guys that are playing in the NHL and all that that I played college with. So, like, you know, there's Neil Pionk, Alex Iafallo. Adam Johnson, I don't know if he was up there for a little bit with Pittsburgh or not, but I don't know. Honestly, like, I've never – when I was just wanted to be a goalie. Like, I didn't like skating out that much. So, like, I could tell you everything about the goalies, but, like, when it comes to players, honestly, like, obviously there's guys that are really good and stuff, but I can't honestly say I have, like, a favorite player to watch. So.
Have you thought about if this were ever to happen, development camp coming up or – a chance to get on the ice and maybe try and stop a one-timer from Ovi?
Yeah, people – I remember when I signed a third sheet, like, lots of buddies and stuff back home, right? We were, like, joking about that. That's pretty funny.
Have you heard anything about his shot?
No, I mean, I don't think you have to hear anything while you watch it on TV. You can see the thing.
Yeah, because everyone always says it's coming at you at, like, 120, but it's – it's moving. It's dipping or rising like nothing they've ever seen before.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's probably why he scored so many goals. So.
Hey, man, it's been really fun to get to know you a little bit. Again, your compete, I could just tell in your voice. Hopefully you get to play a lot in the ECHL with South Carolina and then Hershey and then maybe one day up with the big club. That would be great. Thanks so much for your time and best of luck to you.
Yeah, thank you. Take care.
Yeah, that was Hunter Shepard there, who's making his debut with the South Carolina Stingrays, with Hershey, and then hopefully one day with the Caps. Thanks again so much for tuning in to this edition of the Capitol Building Podcast, part of Blue Wire Podcast. Download, subscribe, leave a rating, write a review. We'll talk again soon. Let's go, Caps.